Hi and Shalom Aleichem. I have come to feel like Chizuk. Chizuk mission is like more like a family reunion at this point. It's something else. And it always comes with this like amazing hashgacha. Like there's never, like as I'm walking in, I just hear hashgacha pratzah stories from people. And I tend to have these like really amazing hashgacha moments as I come to see you. It's always a reflection of who you're coming to meet when things happen along the way. The Baal Shem Tov says that anywhere you go, you think you're going for one reason, but in Shemaim, you have no idea who you're supposed to meet along the way, what you're supposed to do along the way. It could be that you're going to that place for one reason, but it was really about the shahakal you're going to make on the cup of coffee on the last day. That's why you had to go on this whole trip. Like, we really don't know. It's all big. It's so much bigger. And right as I was coming in, I came in a bit early. And it wasn't even planned. I came in early because there was no traffic. Which, if you know anything about Yerushalayim, that was a nace. Yeah. Like, pshuto kemashmo, it was like a nace like Purim nace. Like. And so as I was walking in, I saw Reb Tzim Rosenbluth and Hirsch and Ishtrin, and there was a few other people there. And in my mind, I was thinking, wow, they probably are trying to figure out, why did I come 45 minutes early to their... Okay, fine. I was early. I was just going to come sit and meditate anyway. And as I walked down the stairs, and you know when you're coming down the stairs and there's like the Eish Yeshiva to the right and then there's this building to the left, I saw someone who looked familiar. I didn't know how I knew him, but like, you know, you see someone, you don't know how you know them, but you know them. And he looked at me and his jaw fell to the floor. And so I smiled back at him. Because I was like, hey, must know you from somewhere. And he was in the middle of a conversation with someone, so I wanted to walk over and say shalom. And before I was able to, the door swung open and out walks Rav Dov Bear. And he was like, my friend! I was like, my friend! And we did this like massive embrace. And he was like, what are you doing here? I said, I'm going to see Chizuk. And he was like, you just tell them they're the best. And I was like, they know. He's like, but you tell them, so I'm telling you. And... No, I was thinking when I was standing with him, I was like, you know, he told me some vort about Chizuk that he told you, but when I think of Chizuk mission, I think it's, you guys aren't coming here to receive Chizuk, I get Chizuk when I'm with you, so I guarantee everywhere you go, you're bringing Chizuk to these places. Anyway, he gives me this big bear hug, and the guy, who I still don't know who he is yet, turns over, and he goes, can I get one of those? Like, I also want a hug. So Dope Bear gives him a giant hug, and then he looks at me and he goes, eh? And I gave him a giant hug, and then Rob Dope Bear left, and this guy's looking at me. And I'm like, I know you, but I don't know where. I'm sorry. And he tells me his name. And I'm like, oh, that sounds really familiar. And he just starts crying, and he's like, you changed my life. It's like, I moved to Israel because of your book. He said, I wasn't into Pnimiya Satora at all. I didn't understand any of it. My wife was really into Revitin Kuczynski, and she was davening that I would find something, and then somehow I found your book. And he's like, I'm not supposed to be here right now. I'm never here at this time. I'm never... And he's like, I can't believe I'm running into you. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm running into you. I mean, this is crazy. And we had this like a very deeply profound and emotional meeting. Someone who's going through a lot, and... Obviously, this was Hashem giving me and him chizuk at the same time. And you know, you can't make this stuff up. That's the thing about hashgacha pratis, is you can't make perfect timing. And if it happens once, fine. And if it happens once, fine. But, you know, there's no such thing as a coincidence. The definition of a coincidence is when two things that don't seem to, they're co, right? They're happening together. Two, at one incidence, when something is happening, two things are happening that shouldn't be happening. Al pi svara, according to reason. And the whole world's like that. And those are just the nods and the nudges and the gifts that Hashem gives us along the way. And they don't have to be there. And even when they're there, we don't have to see them. And so as it was happening, I was thinking, man, Hashem, you're so good. Like, you inspire me before I'm sitting with Chizuk Mission. It's like, that is so amazing. Like, that doesn't have to happen today at this time in that way. And it's very real.
So we're going to share ideas, because that's what we do. We share ideas. But I hope it's clear that this isn't about information. Yeah? Information is the cli, it's the tool, the vehicle we use for transformation. But that's the goal, right? The goal is really what happens on the other side. It's what it does to us when we hear it. We learn a piece of Torah, we hear an idea, we hear a quote, we hear something that inspires us. And I was trying to think, you know, if I asked you, could you tell me all of the Torah from all of the classes and all of the things that you heard over the last 10 days, could you do it? Probably not. Yeah, I mean, hopefully you got some notes in there. And then if I said, what about the last 10 weeks? Oh, then it gets harder. What about the last 10 years? Then it gets really hard. And then it begs the question, like, so then what are we doing? Right, if where did it go? Like, it came in and it went out the other side? Like, what happened? And I had a Rebbe once who said he reads a lot of books. He said, I can't tell you what the book said, but I know that I'm different when it's done. Yeah. I can't tell you the Torah of every shir I ever heard, but I know because I went to the shir, I'm a different person. Right? That's what I mean by, these are transformative opportunities. It looks like we're gaining information. And we do. We pick up things along the way, and there are certain things that stand out and stick out. But what are we really looking for? What happens to the soul as we sit in a class or read a book or you listen to a podcast? Or what are you really doing? Is your neshama is looking for resonance. It's looking for itself in the world. Now, it happens to be that Torah has, like, the master blueprint, so you find a lot of it over. You're going to find more of yourself when you listen to a Torah shir than when you listen to, the news, for sure, right? Or some sports broadcast or The View or whatever people watch. Right? You're going to find more of yourself there. And that resonance, when you find it, right? One of the brachas we say is, V'sein chelkenu b'sor asecha, God, let us find my portion of Torah. Let me find my part in this. If you're not looking for, okay, well, was I born to learn Musar or Hasidus or Kabbalah? Or that's not what it is. It's you're looking for your part that's lost in the Torah. Right? There's a part of you that's in the world of Torah. It's in the vision of all of these beautiful ideas. And when you find it, you go, ah, that's real. That's truth. It resonates from the inside. When we think about how to close a trip, how to end an experience, we try to make sense of the whole thing. That's what we're doing. Whenever you come to the end of something, culminations are like, what just happened? How do we put this all together? How do I take this with me? That's why the word siyum, when someone makes a siyum in Torah, they finish a piece of Gemara, or they finish a Sefer, they make a siyum, the simcha, the joy of a siyum, is not that you're finishing something. It's that now everywhere I go afterwards, I have this thing with me. I just went through this. I'm now different because of that. So when I go home, it's not the same me that left. It can't be. So you don't have to try to grab onto anything from the words of information. You're already different. You spent the time here. You went on the tours. You saw the beautiful things. You spent time at the Kotel. You hear the classes. You go through all of this. And you're different when it's done. And if that's true for a class, and that's true for a podcast, and that's true for a trip, that's what we're doing here in this life. We come here, and we think that life is about all of these things that we're doing, the doings. But it's who you're becoming, which is the purpose of this whole life anyway. We can barely remember what we ate for breakfast, let alone what happened 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Yes, the big things stand out. But all of the things that, they made so much sense at the time. And we got so worked up about, and we got so worried about, and so worried about, and so worried about, and anxious about, and frustrated about, and angry about, and snapped at my mother, father, son, daughter, brother, sister, friend, coworker, whoever it is that we did. And now Forget that we don't remember why you were upset. You don't remember that it happened. That's amazing. But who you are, that's what happened. You're what happened. When you think about what happened in life, what's happening in life, you're the creation. You're the thing that's taking place. The book I tell people to read, the most important book if a person wants to be enlightened, awakened, connected, real, by far. It's a hard book, but if you read it, you'll really get it. You're the book. We have to learn to read ourselves. And it's almost easy to go out and listen to a class, because then someone's giving it to me. But to sit down and say, why do I think the way I think? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I want the things I want? Who am I? What's my purpose? Those questions asked to yourself on a regular basis, the Ramchal says, is the only tried and true way, he says, to destroy your Yetzirah and to live at your highest level. He says it's tried and true. He says, Baduk Menusa. He said, it's the only thing I can guarantee. Many other things work, but the only thing I can guarantee is if you sit and ask yourself these questions. Not once, but as a practice. And if you woke up and you ask yourself these questions, who am I? What am I doing here? What do I really want? Why do I do the things I do? That will be better than any self-help class or self-help book or even a deep, mystical, philosophical, spiritual sheer. Nothing is closer to you than you. Nothing. Nothing's closer to you than you. And all of Torah is there to act as a mirror for you to find yourself. So hopefully we get a little bit into that place. But the preface is, we want to get to what's real. So we're sitting here, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. I imagine that it feels really special to be here. I used to live in Yerushalayim. So even though I'm coming from Ramat Beit Shemesh, it's still, every time I come here, it's still like, Yerushalayim is something else. So you're in Yerushalayim, we've had this experience, and now we're in Adar. And Adar is an amazing time. And we're about to go into Purim. So I really just want to talk about what does it mean to be in Eretz Yisrael, in Yerushalayim, in Adar, around Purim, and most of all, what does it mean to grab onto spirituality in a real way? Like, that's really the goal. They say that there are four types of people who are out there searching for spirituality. They're looking for ruchnius. They're looking for something deeper. I might use this. It might be helpful. There are people who are suffering, who are looking for relief. Yeah? That's like the first stage. People are in pain. Life is challenging. Maybe they're in grief, sadness, frustration. They feel shame, guilt, anger. I don't know. A lot of other emotions that we all feel a lot of the time, yeah. And when we're here, we're always looking to get from, you know what, I'm not even going to put suffering in the box. Really, the first stage is I'm looking for a way to not feel this thing. Yeah, that's the thing at the top that's like outside. So that first level is, oh, I'm going to look for something in Ruchnius that's going to make me feel better than the dark place that I'm in right now. But let's say a person's feeling all right. The second level is they're really looking for joy. Like, let's say you're not feeling bad, yeah? You're not down here. You're kind of feeling okay, but you want to feel better. You want to feel good. Okay. And I'm going to look, I'm going to find inspiration. Do you know what inspiration means? Inspire. Inspire means? Yeah, that's right. To be filled with breath, to be filled with spirit, in spirit, right? We're looking to feel that joy, to feel the inspiration. I want a little bit more out of myself, out of my life. Okay. But let's say you do feel good.
What's that next level? Is we're looking for meaning or purpose. We want to grow. I want to do more. I don't just want to feel good. I want to do good. I want to be good, right? I want to go to that higher expression. And then the highest level is you're just looking. Let me do it like this. You're looking for Hashem. You're looking for God, right? I just want to experience this. This is like at the deepest level. And we don't always realize it, but sometimes the easiest path to Hashem is when we're suffering. Because when something's going wrong, sometimes we just bypass the whole thing and we find ourselves with a Kaddish Baruch Hu. We don't go through... This is not linear. It doesn't have to go A, B, C, D. These are just the different points along the way that make us start looking. And Hashem has some people up here. It's like, your pathway is going to be here. And someone else's pathway is going to be here. And someone else is going to be here. And someone else is going to be here. And then there's also another version, which is, you know, at 12, you felt that life was fine. But then maybe you, you know, went through Hard Knocks. And at 16, you felt suffering. And you looked for ruchnius on some level. And that brought you to some level of joy. And by the time you were 25, you were here. But then something else happened and now you're here. You understand, right? Like, we're moving through these stages. But these are always it, which is, we're looking for baseline. I'm okay. I just want to be okay in the world. And when you're in suffering, this actually is great. Like, if you go from I'm anxious to I'm okay, like, that's geula. That's complete redemption. Because that's really challenging. And the same is true for all these levels. So I know I've made a bit of a mess over here, but you'll follow me. And Chazal say that these parallel, these four worlds of Asiya, Yetzira, Ria, sorry, and Atzilus. Sorry, I could have written them in English. I apologize, I didn't. But those are just, recognize that there are these different dimensions that we're working through. You might hear them in classes or in shiurim, and you hear these different ideas, and they sound so cosmic and mystical. But really, these are like different parts of our human experience, of how we experience life.
Can you please say what each one?
Yes, thank you, thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This world called Asiya is what you would naturally call the material world. Yeah, this is the outer layer of reality, which at the baseline, we just want to be okay with life, right? The physical experience. Yetzira, sorry for the Hebrew. You want me to just write it in English?
No.
No? Okay. Yes, split? Okay, I'm just going to write the English in English. This is more like the world of energy. Yeah? What's behind the material. Yeah? E equals mc squared, right? There's energy behind reality. There's a deeper layer that we don't see, but we can feel, right? In, you could call this the more feeling space, if you will. Bria is already now higher. That's like the information that's what informs what energies we experience. So like pure information or the world of thought. You have a thought behind your feeling, which is behind your behaviors, right? Sorry. And then, of course, Atzilus, which is the space of, you could say, Hashem. This is really like the pure consciousness. It's what's even behind thoughts, right? In English, they probably say something like soul, but I think consciousness is the right blueprint that we're working with here. So far, so good. We'll come back to that. But that makes sense? That
so there's behavior?
Behavior, emotion or feeling, thought, and consciousness. Yeah. That's a super oversimplification of how we're wired. We're all wired this way. We all act. Your actions are guided by some force inside of you, the energy that's behind those actions. The energy is informed by the way you're thinking and believing about yourself and the world at that moment. And what's behind that is pure consciousness. It's the self that even if you didn't have any thought, you'd still be there, right? So the super oversimplification of the entire cosmos is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world in Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, which is essentially consciousness, thought, feeling, and behavior. That's how we're wired. And the inverse is how we get closer and closer to Hashem. That's how we get closer and closer to God, is by finding what's my wiring behind this thing. How do I get deeper into myself, deeper into my reality? So if I'm acting a certain way in the world and I want to work on that action, well, where's the motivation behind that? I have to find, well, what was I feeling when I did that? Why did I feel the urge to do that? What was I thinking and believing that made me feel that thing? And if you go all the way in, you're like, well, who's behind all of this anyway? And that's why this bottom row is when you're getting back to your neshama. You're getting back to your connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're getting back to self. So even though it's become super popularized in our generation, which is really cool that psychology is popular and that we can go down and see all these things and there's maps and it's clear and there's all these modalities, fundamentally, this is what we've been doing here the whole time. Now we just have language for it, which is amazing. It's amazing. Why are we doing a map of psychology? Because everyone in here, including myself, and everyone that's out there, and everyone in the world, is finding themselves somewhere along that first axis at any given moment. And when we talk about connecting, being inspired, what's the purpose, who am I and what am I doing here, you have to know that no matter where you are on this, if you feel like life is really hard right now and life is suffering, or if you feel like everything's kind of fine, but usually if you feel fine long enough, then you start to feel bored, right? So then everything at some point leads to, what am I doing here? What is my purpose? If I have a responsibility, what is it? My life is unfolding in this tapestry, like we said. We don't even remember all the pieces. What's happening here? What's happening here?
Or Hashem sends something to shake things up.
That's right. If you don't find it from within, we get our nudges and pushes from without. I don't know if this is important that it's recording, but it looks like it stopped. Whoever is in charge of this.
Oh, really?
Oh, maybe it didn't. I don't.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It just goes black.
Yeah, it goes black. Okay. Fine.
Okay.
The underlying feeling, no matter where we find ourselves, is there must be more. I'm not done yet. There must be more. And like you said, sometimes we're pushed into there must be more, and sometimes we're sitting there trying to figure out, bless you, well, what's next? How do I get to the next thing now? And here's like the big kicker. The big kicker is to really get to the big geula, what we're really looking for, it's actually working to uproot the feeling that this is wrong. That there must be something more. That God is somewhere else. That Hashem is somewhere else. That this moment isn't okay. That itself is, at the end, the very end, there's a recognition that the whole thing, even when you were in the suffering, or when you were in the joy, when things were just okay, that was all perfect also. And if at some point we don't get that message, then we keep jumping and jumping and jumping. And like, okay, fine, so EFT didn't work, but I'll go to EMDR. And EMDR doesn't work, so I'm going to go to IFS. And if IFS doesn't work, I'm going to go over here. I'm going to jump over here. And then I'm going to go listen to this year. And then there's like this slew of rabbis that I like. But then, wait, but I heard this Tony Robbins thing. And we jump and we jump and we jump and we jump. And hey, maybe it's yoga. Maybe that's where I'm going to find it. Or maybe the answer is in Mishpacha. Nope, Bina. Nope. Okay. And we're jumping and jumping and we're looking. We're like, where is it? Where is it? Where is it? Where is it? We go through life and we're like, we keep jumping to find it. And we do find bits and pieces along the way. We're like, okay, I got what I needed from here. I got what I needed from here. But that's not really helping me anymore. This is the one that inspires me now. But like, when does it end? And this is the story of life. We've been doing it for thousands of years. And the chiddush and the beauty of the Megillah is that, right, we know famously, Hashem's name's not in the Megillah. We know there's all these hints that he hints over here, he hints over here, he hints over there, but the name's not in the Megillah. And the Kedushas Levi says that actually all of these Torahs about Hashem's name not being in the Megillah are a mistake. It's not true. Do you know what Hashem's name is? He says, the whole Megillah. He says, that's Hashem's name. Where's Hashem in the Megillah? The Megillah. The whole thing. And our whole life is really that. Our whole life is, there was never a moment where you weren't becoming. Right? There was never a moment that like something wasn't shaping you, forming you, getting you to that next step. And we don't like all of it, which is good. You're not supposed to like that part, which makes you search for the next thing, which gets you to the next place, which that's all, it's all part of the elaborate, beautiful plan. And why? The gift is that there's a you. You know, you're the only one who can be you. No one else could be you. No one else was born with your parents and your siblings or lack thereof. No one was born in your society with that vision and that purpose coming from where you were. No one got the types of Torah that you got, the hard knocks that you got, the lucky breaks that you got. Nobody got you but you. And where is Hashem in that? It's like, that's how Hashem expresses that idea through you. You're that. And all of Geula, like the whole thing that we're working towards is coming to record. Can we remember that that's true? Can I lean into that along the way? And it doesn't mean like, oh, and then you stop once you know it. Because the truth of the truth is, you can always know that. Like you can go deeper into that. That's something that you deepen and deepen. Because the world is set up with inertia and momentum, which is what Gullus is, keeping us from knowing that. So you get the joy of finding that. That is the gift. The gift of your life is you get to go through your life finding you. And you find Hashem in you. That's what the gift of this whole experience is. And so you do. You come on a trip and you read a book and you listen to a shir. Or you go to a therapist or you hire a coach or you do whatever it is that you're doing. But in all of those places, it's all coming back to the same thing. Who am I at the deepest level? And consciousness and looking for Hashem is they're in the same place. At the very end of the Megillah, there's a pasuk that I don't know. If had I not seen this Maharal, I probably would have looked over it. In fact, it's a pasuk that's repeated. You know, at the very end of the Megillah, there's like a whole section that's said twice, but they're not exactly the same. Like it's very close with a lot of similarities. But there are nuances in the psukim, and in one of them, it says that at the very end, Klal Yisrael they had simcha, mishta, v'yom tov, u'mishloach manos ish l're'ehu. And the Maharals, like in English, what that means is they had joy and a party and a holiday, and then they sent gifts to all their friends, which is really nice. That's a very nice thing. But the Maharal says an idea over there that's so beautiful and so clear and so resonant that for me, it's like when I think of the Megillah, I just think of this pasuk. Like this is the ikar of Adar, the ikar of Purim, the ikar of life. This is what we're doing here. Like if we got this, then we got this. It says that these are levels of our own growth, levels of the expansion of our consciousness, levels of happiness, okayness. And he says the first level is up here. He says the first level is simcha. How do you find joy? By not losing your marker. You find joy when you feel like you have everything you need. Yeah? If I have everything I need, I'm not suffering anymore in that same way. I drop down from suffering into, I have relief. I have everything I need. I'm okay. Okay. Most people, most of the time, don't get this far. Like, we could stop there. We could say, like, yeah?
Materialistically or everything?
Psychologically.
Also.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Material would be, like, in, like, Maslow's hierarchy, like, the baseline. But we get it to psychologically, I'm not living with shoulds and expectations in my life. Yeah? If I still feel this should have gone differently, how do I feel? Do I feel joy? No, I'm really suffering. Okay, it might be micro-suffering. Yeah? But what do I do? How do I know if I'm suffering? I complain. I'm complaining to my husband. I'm complaining to the tour guide. I'm complaining to this person. I'm telling my friend, I can't believe she, right? Whatever it is that when we do that, that means that I had a need that wasn't met. I have a psychological need that says I'm not okay and I'm still above here. The people who are the happiest, they complain the least. Why? Because they don't need as much. Some, for some people, it's more natural. For other people, it's a life's work, right? But this is like the beginnings. Like, how much do I psychologically feel like I need things to be different than how they are? We call them expectations. We use words like should and shouldn't, right? Have to, supposed to. That whole world. Most of the people in this room, we've had this conversation before. Yeah, so that whole conversation happens up here. And like, what do I need to be different? And if I find myself not feeling good, either about myself or about my life, it's because I'm still stuck in this. I didn't work this out. And that's what I meant in the beginning, where I said, you know, the only book you should, like, if you really want to invest, like, invest in yourself and stop and ask yourself the question. You don't have to ask your friend or your mentor or your rabbi or find it in a self-help book. You can sit down and ask yourself, what is it? What's the thing I'm still needing to be different? And just being able to see it, you're like halfway there. You didn't get rid of it yet. But if you can see it, if it's clear in front of you, that's becoming conscious. You're like really making it real. Okay, I can see it. I need to feel special, right? Somewhere in my psychology, I need to feel special. And therefore, when they don't give me the reservation that I want, I get all angry. It has nothing to do with them and nothing to do with the reservation. It's my need to be seen a certain way. Oh, I can see that. If I see that, so then I can work with that. I can say, okay, do I really need it? Why do I feel like I need that thing? I can go in. The whole thing is a process of going in. That's everything. I believe you. Yes, no, I got it.
Rabbi Singer yesterday.
Okay.
So that's
oh, yes.
What's the purpose of that?
Why?
So just to clarify what you said before about like we're spending our lives searching for understanding and deepening our whatever it is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
It's all a good thing.
But it seems like very like lost all over the place.
What do you mean?
Like you say, like I try this, doesn't work for me, I try that, doesn't work, I try this method of therapy. Like it seems like you're kind of like just like a lost person, like just trying to grasping at like whatever you can get your hands on. Like, it doesn't seem like you're like having a direction of how you're going to like find, you know, your purpose.
And
your
maybe passion. That's searching. Yes, maybe that's
right. But part, yeah, exactly. Part of it, part of the journey, is not knowing where you're going, and being on that search. So it's almost like, I'm not going to draw it, but imagine separately, right? So you have two people, and one person goes down and they find the thing that opens them up and that gets them clear. And they might ride on that train for the rest of their life because like they found themselves and that's beautiful. And somebody else, their neshama came in fragmented and there are parts over here and there are parts over here and there are parts over there. And so they're like moving all over the place looking for the pieces of unlock along the way. But both of them at some point, right? Doesn't matter if you're jumping all over the place or you're in one train. The depth of ge'ula happens when you realize that neither are the right way and the wrong way. It's just your way. And that's the right way. Because that's how you were wired. That's how you came into this world. And so for the person who's running all over the place, they came in with this ferocious desire to get so clear. And so they're going to look all over the place and somebody else is coming in. They had a different mission. They're doing something else in this life. So that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't use the words good and bad. It's like, they're both good. They're different paths to getting to the same place. Meaning, what's all the way on the inside, when we talk about getting close to Hashem, Hashem doesn't change. It's not like you have one Hashem, I have a different Hashem, right? The neshamas are slightly nuanced, but even that, it's like, you can't differentiate between rays of light from the sun. They are different, like technically speaking, but we can't see that from here. We just see light. So we only see differences on the outside. And so when we look at the path, we like to judge one path as being right and one path as being wrong. But that's a human thing we do. It's not reality. Like from Hashem's perspective, like, is it right that Esther was ripped away from her husband and thrown into a marriage with some Babylonian, you know, king, and now she has to live the rest of her life? Is that good, bad, right, wrong? Like, I mean, Hashem thought it was the right. It saved the world. So it's like with all hashkacha, right? Until the end, we don't see how that was the right way for that person.
Okay, so that's like a drop on needs. And we could spend a whole life on this, and that's what it's all the same to me, is hopefully addressing for people. But to create a little more space. So, okay, so that's why he says simcha. So you want simcha? He says you have to look at your needs, and you have to find a way to be okay with reality and to have less of these. The more of these you have, the less joy and peace you have. Simple. He then says, now, if you want to get to really feeling good and really feeling joy, he says, can you get to wants? I don't just have everything I need. I feel that I have everything I want. That means that not only do I not, like in the negative, I don't need more. I like this. I prefer what I have, right? I have what I want. So as like this would be more like preferences, desires, wants. That's why it's mishta, right? So here, we'll put it here. Yeah. Simcha, right? So happiness, sorry guys, I'm on the side. Happiness, mishta. Mishta is a party. Life will feel like a party if everywhere you go, you're like, this is what I want. This is what I want. Imagine, like when you're at a party, how do you feel at a party? This is what I want. This is really good. This is really nice. It's really good. That's why mishta has wine. Wine is not essential. You do not need wine to live. Right? I mean, I guess it depends who you ask. But you don't need wine to live. Yeah? The suda, what makes the mishta a mishta, it's literally, the word mishta means to drink. It's about the wine. It's the party. The party is, I don't just have what I need, I have what I want. This is a high level. Now, again, that's why we don't always live here. But when we get here, it feels really good. We really love this place. Like, we love being in a party. How do you fix this? Not by changing the things on the outside. Again, it comes back to your heart. That's why the Shulchan Aruch, the last line of the body of work of how to live your life, the last line of Aruch Chaim in the Shulchan Aruch is Tov Lev Mishta Tamid. A good heart, party all the time. Right? The literal translation, I think, that's Mishle, right? He says, that's how we have to live. Tov Lev. Right?
If you don't mind, can you write Mishta?
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, no, I'm doing the best we can. Here we go. Mishta. So it's like, life becomes a party when I can go from things just being okay to like, I feel really good because I have what I want. Have what I want is, it's the people that you meet, and if this is you, then it's you when you're just present. Nothing's taking you away from this moment, and you enjoy the person you're with, or you enjoy the thing that you're doing. I want this. We feel this way when we have these micro moments of life felt like a party when I was with my daughter, or when I was with my son, or when I was with my husband here, or when I was, that's when life felt like a party. Why? Because I wanted that. Now, what happens if you live that way all the time? What if it's not about the thing, it's about the tov lev? The heart says, I want this. Can you always be in this position? Until Mashiach comes, I don't think this is meant to be there all the time. That's why this comes in Geula, comes in Purim. To live in that state all the time. Because we don't always want what's right in front of us. It takes a giant, you need to be a saint to love everything that shows up in front of you. But you don't need to be a saint to try to live in this place more of the time. And most people, most of the time, aren't in a position where they can't be here. Really, these two can actually be there significant. This you can be there all the time. Like, this is really possible. You can get to a needless place. Like, that's really possible. Barring extreme situations, yeah? I do not think that the hostages had equal opportunity in living with a lack of needs, yeah? When you're in an extreme position, a person's sitting in a hospital bed, it is extremely difficult. Again, that would take a saint, which, by the way, many of them are and were. And then all of a sudden, why is it that when someone goes through a hard time and yet they're still smiling, we look at them and we change? Because they did this. When they do this, we change. Because we're like, that's possible? And that awakens that in you. like, oh, okay, you're a hero. Why are you my hero? Because you went through a deep suffering and that you still found light. How did you do that? Your magic. And that I want to see that in me. I want to be able to live that a little bit more. But most of us, Baruch Hashem, in the 21st century, with all of the amenities that we have and the gifts of this lifetime, which are beyond our capacity to even name, this is Shaykh most of the time. This is harder, but it's still able to be there, a lot of it. Like, if I were to ask you right now, like, are you enjoying this conversation? I hope so. I'm enjoying this conversation, right? So much of life looks like this. Yes, there are the times, I heard someone right before we started saying, I really hope that my flight's not canceled because of the blizzard, right? It's like, yeah, probably hard to feel a lack of want around that, but you could. I know, that's what I'm saying. You could. Okay, I don't want to speak for the person who's trying to get home.
Canceled.
Hey.
The flight was canceled?
Yeah. Wow, okay, welcome. You can stay.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Were you on the United?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Can you also correlate these two parts of our body? Brain, heart. I mean, you
yes.
already did Mishdet to heart.
Yeah.
Can you correlate all yep. of these two?
Yeah, yeah. It's the same idea of where we're over here. So behavior is going to be the body itself. Yeah, so simcha is going to be, you'll know that you got to the place where you lack needs when you're physically not having a reaction. Anxiety and stress you feel in the body. It's real. You tremble, right? Like when you're really afraid. So you know if this is real, the measuring stick is by the body. But wants and joy, you don't measure in the body as much as you measure it in the heart. Right, it's an emotion. I feel joy. Right, again, it goes to the body, but I measure it here. The next one, this is it's quite a madriga. But the way that he says it is, I don't just have everything I want. I need. I don't just have everything I want.
Sorry.
Oh wow.
Abundance. He says, the third one is Yom Tov. What's the difference between a party and a holiday, right? Oh, sorry.
Gift or holiday?
So it wasn't an actual Yom Tov like in the Chagim, which Purim's not a Yom Tov, right? Which is a whole nother discussion why it's not a Yom Tov. But it was like a Yom Tov, which is it was celebrated as it held the same energy as a Yom Tov. Which is why when you experience Purim, one of the beautiful things about both Purim and Hanukkah, the side tangent, which there are no tangents because it's all on purpose, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, those are summer holidays. Summer holidays are Yom Tov holidays, which is, they're like Shabbos, right? We don't do anything. Why? Because the summer is the time when there's more light in the world, and those are top-down chagim. Top-down chagim means that, the Arizal says, there's so much kedusha coming into the world, we don't do anything. Like, there's no malacha, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we take our hands off the wheel. Purim and Hanukkah are winter holidays, that's when there's more darkness in the world, and they're bottom-up holidays, they come from our Mesiris Nefesh. Right, that we went and self-sacrificed in Hanukkah and Purim, which is how we, even though, yes, God was there guiding the way, but Hashem was more hidden in those holidays. And because of that, we are able to do malacha, because those are times where, even though, yes, they have the energy of a Yom Tov, they have an energy of the holiday, but they're actually rooted in here because we did something. And the two sides of the calendar year are the co-creation between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Anyway, tangent, not a tangent, but to answer your question, yeah? So this Yom Tov, he says, is when it's not just I have what I need or I have what I want, it's I recognize the abundance of reality. And that's why he says there's a difference between living it, going to a party, and in a Yom Tov, you're actually completely immersed in a time. The whole day, the Yom is Tov. The day is good. The whole thing is good. It's more than just a party is a destination. You go somewhere for a party or you host a party, but then the party ends. But the Yom Tov, as long as it's in the day, like you're immersed in goodness, immersed in abundance. You actually don't, it's like you don't even see that there are needs and wants to be had because, okay, anything I need, it's like I have it all. I don't just have what I want. Everything is available. Everything's available. Even the things that I don't know that I want, because I'm connected on the inside. This is very deep. And that's going from when you realize what your purpose is in this world, when you realize that, wow, nothing's really going wrong. Everything's exactly where it's supposed to be. Life is abundant. Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. There's the life is a Yom Tov. Life is a holiday. Again, very high Madrega. But he says, when you do get there, it bridges you into the top of this reality, which is, I have what I need, I have what I want, I'm connected to abundance. All that's left is my, what he calls your core desire. Sorry. Or in otherwise, you give. You become, when you're connected to consciousness, when you're connected to God at the deepest level, all that's left is your desire to give. Sorry? Sorry. I'm going to stop apologizing for my backwards handwriting here. Mishloach manos. Yeah? We give. Life is a joy. Life is a party. Life is a holiday. Life is God in action. Yeah? This is reality. And it all comes down to how surrendered can I be? How present can I be? How aligned can I be? How much trust can I have? How much knowing is there in me that I'm okay and that things are working out and things are moving in the right direction? This is really everything. And if there were another box here, it would say, Hey, Vav, Hey, Yud. Because these are different dimensions of connecting to Hashem. Yeah, that's what all of this is can I go deeper and deeper into my relationship with God? Deeper and deeper into my relationship with myself, with my neshama? What am I really doing here? So,
is that the permutation of Hashem's name for other?
Huh?
Is that the permutation of Hashem's name for other?
Good question.
Otherwise you said, hey, have to look it up. I don't know. Instead of Yud-Kay, Vav-Kay.
Yes, this is working from the bottom up, is the way that this is all set up. Exactly. And we're working in that direction. Yeah, we're always moving towards the pnimius, towards the inside. It's always about on the inside. But the energy that goes through the whole thing is, if I can let go of the thought that this moment needs to be different, and I'm going to cut myself off and say, it's the reason why the name of the book is It's All the Same to Me. Because it doesn't matter if we're speaking about Purim or Shavuos or a bar mitzvah or a wedding. The depth on the inside is Hashem's always trying to get us to the same place. Right? The goal of everything is all the same. Is, can you get more real? Can you get more honest with yourself? Because on the inside of that, you get closer to Hashem. Like the inside of everything is just closer to God. The inside of everything is closer to good. The inside of everything is closer to truth, closer to oneness. That's what happens. The deeper you go, you get closer to this thing. And then we get filled with breath and spirit. We get inspired. Why? Because it's like, that resonates. That is what I'm doing here. So when we think about, well, what is my purpose? Who am I? What am I doing here? It's all variations of the same thing. The question is always coming back to, can I allow myself to be more present and more loving and more joyful? People have a gratitude practice. Lots of people have a gratitude practice. What is gratitude? It's this. It's a practice to go from, instead of focusing on what I need, I focus on what I have. And that's why gratitude feels good. But then there's something else altogether, which is, can I step into an orientation of like, I'm just a grateful person. I don't need a gratitude practice. Just like everything is okay. Everything is good. And when things aren't okay, I allow that to be there too. One of the things that Chazal say about Mordechai and Esther is that they represent two sides of this coin. The inner and the outer, kind of the yin and the yang of how do you approach darkness? How do you approach challenges? Which is really, this is the starting point of all conversations, because we all go through challenges. There's not a person who gets to go through this life without challenges. And Chazal say, if you go through life without challenges, you don't get Olam Haba. Somebody once went to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zatzal. And they told him, I'm afraid I'm not going to get Olam Haba. So Reb Chaim said, why not? He said, I've had a perfect life. And nothing ever went wrong. So he really, he's like, everything went well. I'm afraid I'm not going to get Olam Haba. So Reb Chaim asked him, he said, did you ever move? He said, what do you mean? He's like, you ever move houses? He said, yeah. He said, you have Olam Haba. You're tzaddik, but you have Olam Haba. You know, like, we go through things, even if they're small things. Life is challenging. And so Mordechai and Esther represent, so how do you approach it? And Mordechai represents the inner side, which is, can I be free of my natural reaction to fall into despair, into the darkness? Haman walks by. This is the big vision. Haman walks by. Mordechai doesn't bow. He doesn't bow. Why? He's not. Everyone else is bowing. Everybody is reacting to the negativity in the world. And Mordechai is like, hey, look, negativity in the world. Okay. And this is actually, it's like the beginning of the fight is his gall to say, it's all the same to me. It's like chutzpah. What do you mean? You can't say that. You can't say this is okay. What do you mean? This is a terrible thing. And he represents the internal part of us that has to say, I'm not going to bow to the darkness. I don't bow to the bad thing that happened today. I'm not going to give you so much of my energy that even though I was inspired earlier because this thing happened, I'm going to let myself go down this big trap of he did and she did and this traffic and this and the blizzard and that, and then it's going to ruin my day. I'm not going to make you God over me. No, that's not how I'm going to work. That's Mordechai's symbol. That's why his name, Mordechai, Chazal say, is the Targum for the Mordror in the Ketores. It's Mordachi. Mordror has two translations. Mardror means the master of freedom. That's what the name means. Mordechai is the master of freedom. He teaches us what it means to be free in the world, which is I don't bow to the darkness. Or Mardror, Mar means bitter, Dror means free, so he's free of bitterness, right? Everybody else is caught in the bitterness of the world. He was free from the bitterness of the world. Now, if you and I try that, right? So you're going to get a lot of the people who are still caught in darkness looking at you like, what do you mean? You should be upset. You should be petitioning. You should, and all of the angst that comes with it. And you don't have to. Again, if you feel powerfully emphatic about something, then by all means. But if you don't feel that way, if that's not your mission in the world, you don't have to give your energy to the darkness. That's Mordechai. Esther, and as it is in Klal Yisrael, Geula always comes through Nashim Tzadkaniyos, that there's a powerful capacity to transform inner ideas and energy into something real and practical and pragmatic. She represents the ability to lean in to the darkness. Whereas Mordechai was, I don't react. Esther's was, okay, I'm going to go into the king's place where I wasn't invited and risk my life and do the thing. Right? I'm going to lean in even if it looks bad. It doesn't matter if it looks good or bad. It doesn't matter if it looks right or wrong. That's what I'm here to do. That's the higher madriga. That's how you bring Malchus into the world. That's how you bring God's kingship into the world. That's how you reveal God in the world, which is not only am I not afraid and I'm not going to bow down, but I'm going to work with what I have. You change the world when you say, you know what? This is what you gave me. I'm going to work with what I have. Because this is all I got. There is no other way. And when she gets afraid, and there's one moment when she's afraid, right? And Mordechai says, just so you know, it's happening anyway. But you get to be the person it happens through. And if not you, it's going to be somebody else. This is our life. Our life is always these two sides. The first part is we hope to be strong enough mentally, internally, to not fall in. But that's only part one. Part two is, now what do I do with the lot I was given? Can I lean in? And it's hard. And sometimes some people's lots are easier than others. No one, I guarantee you, no one wanted to be Esther Amalk. That was not an envied position as a member of the Jewish people. It could be that everybody else was trying to get into that role. But you were not trying to be that person. Okay? But Hashem had a different plan. But what do you do once... Okay, so you're given this piece. Working together, that's the way forward. And it was because of that. It's because they were able to move through that, that there was such a major nace and a big geula that comes through on the other side, holding on, not bowing to the darkness, turning ourselves around, v'nahafachu, the entire story of Purim is, we got it. We figured it out. Hashem was waiting on us to trust ourselves in this process. We work our way through. There's a revelation. And for that, in one moment, Klal Yisrael were able to get all of it. That's why it was such a big deal, because they realized, wow, everything had to be exactly the way it was, and the exact right people, and the exact right place, and the exact right time, and nothing could be different. Literally, nothing could be different. And if you get it, when you know it clear, you feel Simcha, and Mishta, and Yom Tov, and Mishloach Manasi Shorei, you just want to give to everybody. You're like, that's it, I get it, I'm one with God, everything's working out, nothing ever went wrong. Hai Madrega, but great. Once a year, we allow ourselves to go there. It's the reason why we drink on Purim. Like, literally, the pashut reason why we drink on the holiday of Purim is because you can't actually live this way all year long. Right? That's the reason why that became part of the halacha. Because, like, you kind of have to get insane. You have to get a little bit out of your mind. Like, that's not a normal way to live. Sometimes, life gives you the opportunity to touch this place. And when you go there, you want to carry it with you forever. And they leave imprints. And the way that Rabbi Nachman says it is, we go to this world of ayin, which means nothingness, no thingness. I'm not caught up in the thingness of reality. And I get clear. He says, but you're not supposed to stay up there. We want to bring that down with us back into this world. How do I take that clarity and pour it into a cup of coffee for my wife? How do I take that clarity and, you know, make lunch for my kids in the morning with a smile? Right? Even when they're yelling at me. Right? Like, how do I take what I got when I got beyond my mind, and then I bring it into my mind? I allow that to inform my mind. So,
is that the mind?
This level is the mind. This is the part of me that's beyond the mind. This is the no thingness. It's the, I got it. I'm with God. I remember. I know what I'm doing here. Yeah, and it comes in moments. People have...
Yeah.
And they are. They're inspiring. They're sparks. My Rebbe would say, we get these sparks of Kedusha, and they show up in our lives, and it's like they're gone just as fast. But like when you stand outside in a thunderstorm and you see lightning, like you really catch like a good, and the entire sky lights up, it's like those moments, like it changes the whole context of the evening. It's like, wow, that was amazing. Right? Yes, it's dark and it's scary and this, but like that moment of light, it changes the way you go through your experience of life. And we can, and we have been, we spoke about this a little bit last time we were in this room. I remember we were talking about how throughout history, like things have been getting better. I'm a firm believer that this is the best moment in history yet. And it is. And it's only getting better. And Iran and us are still not at war, which means that things are still good. Yeah.
Yes, but they would all be good, right?
Exactly. The deeper we go through life and throughout history, the less we make big deals out of the things, which was like, well, it's not really such a big deal. I used to think that really mattered. It doesn't really matter as much as I think it did. Agav, it does split. You ever there's a trope in the world of like the grumpy old man. Right, like there's, because you can go the other way. You can go through life and be so rigid that you never let go. But eventually, everyone has to let go. Right? They say we come into this world with clenched fists. Yeah. Right? And everybody goes with palms wide open. Right? We soften in this lifetime. The question is just like how quickly are we going to lean in? Like, are we going to soften faster? Are we going to open our hearts a little bit more? And it's always back to the same thing. This fight between the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, between our ego and our higher consciousness, it has been following us around since day one. One fruit, one tree, 6,000 years of challenges and problems and unfolding. But it's all the same thing. Can I take the time out of my day, out of my life, to sit down, get to know myself a little bit better, and see why am I still doing that? And how can I let go of that a little bit more? How can I release my hold on that thing? What is it that I'm really after? Like, what do I really still not believe? Do I really still not believe I'm good enough? Is that really true? And if it is, like, What would I need to know in order to get beyond that? Don't ask the book. Ask yourself, what would I need to know that I'm good? What don't I know yet? Is it, what do I still believe that I need someone else's validation on my life? Do I still believe that? Why do I still believe that? Ask the question. I guess we're saying so that, right? So okay, ask the question and go inside. No one else has the answer but you. Now, it's true you might hear it in a class and it might resonate and you're like, that's it. I just needed those words to fit because I've always felt this way. And I always say that truth is not learned, right? Truth resonates, right? You feel it from the inside. It's a resonance. You know when something's... Sometimes you hear something and you say, that's a nice idea. Other times you hear it and you just go, yes, that. And that's it. Like, there's no other words other than, got it. Just needed to hear it in that way, in that frame, from that energy, with those words. But I was looking for that and I just didn't have it yet. So that's the Milo of what we're doing here. But the take home, and especially now, you know, I mean it when I say it. I speak to a lot of groups. This is a very, very special group of individuals who really, you guys truly are the real deal. This is a real deal. So you want to take it home. The only thing you're taking home is you. That's what you're taking home. And to sit with it and to give it time and to be real and on the things that you're like, I wish I got that, but I didn't. So then that's good. It's like, yes, I didn't get that, but I wish I did. That's a block in its own right. But you don't need to be any different than what it was. But what you did get, it's like, you know what I really did get from this? You know how I really did change? And to sit with these ideas, you're going to, I mean, I guess some of you are not getting on a flight. So, but for those who are going on the flight, you're spending your time and you're thinking or writing or you're schmoozing. You don't need to hear another class at this point, right? Now, it's like at the end of... At the end of the Chagim, at the end of Sukkot, there's Shmini Atzeres. At the end of Pesach, Pesach really ends in Shavuos. That's what the Ramban says. The end of Pesach starts by Pesach, but it doesn't really end. The whole thing was a unit of getting to Shavuos, which is also called Atzeres. When you get to the end of something, Atzeres means stop and let it take root. Nothing more to do, nowhere else to go, everything to be. That's it. Just be. Be with it. You let it sink in. That's the whole thing. The whole thing. Nothing more to do. Atzeres. So I think that's the bracha I want to leave us with. I'm happy to stick around. I know that you guys, there's some time here and we can do questions and hang out, but just a bracha that everything that was picked up in this time for you and everything that we've picked up together, not just in this trip, but in this life so far, it should take root in such a way that clarity becomes obvious, that emuna pshuta isn't simple faith, but is clear and obvious knowing that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. You've gone through everything you need to go through, and that things will continue to unfold in a way of geula, and that we can lean in to the positions that Hashem has put us in, which will not only free ourselves from our own mental blocks, but we'll bring more and more geula to the people around us and for all of Klal Yisrael.
Amen. So you said, I love that line, you said, information to transformation. Transformation means change. So I have to say I'm okay with myself if I also have to transform myself.
I love that question. Thank you.
Can you say that? Can you repeat the question? Please?
Yeah. So this, I love this question. On the one hand, we're talking about growth, self-actualization, transformation. On the other hand, I'm saying, this is enough, you're enough, life is good, nothing needs to change. So how do those two things work together? In the allotted time we have, yeah? Because it's a big question. But the simple answer is, this moment and who you are in this moment always has to be enough. Where you're looking, where you're going, is always in flux and changing. So when we think about growth, we think about where we're going, but we don't call it where I need to be. It's just where I'm going. But who I am so far has to be enough, because it's all you have. You'll never have more than this moment. And that will always be true. But Baal Shem Tov says, if you want to live with peace, your person has to know, Ein li al ha'aretz rak rega achas harega shel achshav. I only have one moment in this world, and that moment is right now. So this moment has to be enough, because that's all there is. The next moment's a dream. So we do work towards change, and when I look back, I can see, wow, the profile that I walked in with on this trip was one way, and the human that I'm leaving with is another way, but who I came in as was perfect, and who I'm leaving as is perfect. And where I'll be in 5 years will also be perfect. But perfect is dynamic. Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly changing through us. So all the moments are fine while we move in the direction of where Hashem wants us to be. Yeah? Yeah.
I was saying to the girl, like, I walked into a restaurant before, and I had like an aha moment, like, those moments of just consciousness. I was like, the clarity of everything that Hashem does, every moment, every second is set up, it just is perfectly orchestrated for us to work on that. Like that situation, that person, that place and thing, is to work on the nida of that of the moment. It
yes.
was like, it was such a clear, fine feeling. Like, it was no more about the situation. About it was more about that sense of like, what is, where are we in time of that needs? And it was such a like, it just felt like that veil. And I think that, is that what you were saying? You
yes.
Conscious, like,
yes. As
conscious,
you get
conscious.
As you get further in to yourself, you begin to sense more and more that the whole world is really a stage. It's all a stage. And it looks like, in the beginning, we think that's the thing that it's about, whatever's happening, when really, that's there to trigger or awaken things inside of you that are there to grow. Meaning that's what's really happening. Right? Life's happening on these different levels. So when we're in Asiya, when we're caught up in the outer world, so we're either somewhere in need, which is suffering, or at best we're feeling okay, but we're still taking the outer world to be fully everything. But what you're saying is, as you continue to realize, wow, this hashgacha is happening exactly this way because it's putting me in a certain position and now I can do the inner work, you're already moving inward. And whenever we move inward, we get closer to consciousness. And then you can see from there, oh, I'm still having this reaction because I'm having this thought. How do I change this thought? Or who would I be without this thought altogether?
So then is right? Anybody ever really doing anything to you? Or like your reactions, you know, things that you feel are coming at you? is there supposed to be some sort of like pause or hard stop of like, no, this is just the matrix. And like, you know, this is not... this is not actually, that person isn't attacking you, that person isn't saying anything negative to you, they don't deserve to hear something back from you based on their behavior. Like, how do you continue to interact with the matrix, what I call the matrix for myself, how do I continue to interact with the matrix when it's really just the matrix and there's something bigger going on?
Did everybody, thank you, did everybody hear the question? That's a big question.
Yes, very good.
Question was, if it's all really just things happening for your growth, how do you know when to engage with the world for the world's sake? It's really just about your own inner thing. So two responses. One of them, just because it aligns in the same way. People in this first category see life as happening to me. This next level up feels more like by me. The next level feels more like for me. And the last one feels like through me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So then, are we moving to these spaces?
Yes. And it's also dynamic, because it happens like this.
It's maturity, though. Right?
Yes.
Yes. As long as you did that, could you work it through, like, to elaborate more what you're saying?
Yes, I'll do both, but I just want to directly respond, which is every situation that demands a response deserves a response. Not all every situation demands a response. Yeah? There's a difference.
Did you say that one more time?
Every situation that demands a response deserves a response. But not every situation demands a response. We just think it does. Yeah?
It's huge.
It's huge. You're driving down the street. You're going a little slow because you're a little tired that day. And the guy behind you honks really loud, says, get out of the road. If we're in a reactive place, we respond. But that didn't demand a response, right? That situation, it's just something happened. You just happen to be in the way of someone behind you who has worse meters than you do at that moment, right? Like, that's what happened. That situation does not demand a response. You might, he might pull up, again, it'd be different if then that person pulls up next to you, gets out of their car and walks up to your window, you're in a different situation now. Now, Hashem's speaking to you through this person, you now have to engage in that dialogue. But a lot of situations are just things that are happening, and you can choose to lean in. And it could have something to do with you, or it have nothing to do with you. Just something happening in the background. And ego makes everything about you. Right? And so, if you're upset because Vladimir Putin, da-da-da-da, or because, you know, Donald Trump, da-da-da-da-da, or anybody who has nothing to do with you, da-da-da-da-da, right? That's when we've turned something which is like a screen. It's a rock with electricity moving through it. And now it's affecting our reality and our psyche. That's a good expression of that doesn't demand anything from you.
It's what's happening with, I think, social media.
Absolutely. Yes.
I think everyone thinks that every comment, everything that's out there, it doesn't have demands. WhatsApp, anything, needs some type of response. Demands a response. Demands a response. And a reaction.
Yeah, exactly. And reactivity lives in the first two. Yeah,
right.
worse up here. Huh?
It's felt in the body.
And you feel it in the body. And you're looking for relief from that. Yeah? And that's in the material because I take this world to be completely true and that's everything to me. Right? So I see the world as happening to me also means that I'm constantly under threat and I'm trying to vie for like God's attention. Please save me. Please save me. Yes, that's that. Certainly the starting point. Yeah, exactly. And to me in suffering, it's a capital T, capital M in suffering. Yeah, it's like everything's really happening to me. Yeah, so it's this whole area is how most people see the world most of the time. Most people see the world most of the time that I can't believe this happened to me. Which also feels like, you know, people's relationship with Hashem evolves over time and changes. And when we're young, we are actually taught that it's really a to me, by me relationship. Right. That's schar va'onesh.
Right.
That, like, reward and punishment is a very, things are happening to me. God's either going to give me good things or punish me. Like, that's a very first grade, second grade, third grade. No. What I'm saying is that it doesn't have to evolve, and so if it doesn't, it remains here, right? But do you want your children, like when they're kids, you want them to think reward and punishment because they need to know they can't go into the street, and they need to know that they can't hit their sibling, and they need to know that. So you need that in the beginning when the person's not adult enough to get it. But would you want your 25-year-old daughter to be afraid of you? Like a reward punishment kind of dynamic? How would you feel about your relationship with your child if that was the entire dynamic? If that were the whole dynamic in the relationship, you would feel like I messed up. I didn't do this right. You would feel like I can't believe that you're so afraid of me. I only love you. And yet with Hashem, we're like, no, it's okay. We'll just stay here the whole time. Like that's the problem is a lack of an evolved relationship. The same way that your relationship with a parent evolves, our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu has to evolve. It doesn't mean, by the way, if your child borrows, I don't know, a huge amount of money from you and they say, I'm going to pay you back in 6 months, right? And then they don't. It's like there can be repercussions because there's a relationship here. But there's something that also goes beyond the loan, right? That's a deeper. So these are the deeper layers of our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yes. Absolutely, without question.
But I think nobody really outgrows the to me because they still think of Hashem as like he's doing it to me. This is happening, you know. To me.
So if you
know that, but there's always a to me. I think there's always every element.
Yes.
In,
Yes, and that and that's the that's what I meant before when I say it's a weave. It's a dynamic nature because we're not static.
Right.
When our midos, when our midos, which are our psychological, spiritual, emotional elements, are intact and aligned, it's much easier to live here. Right? This is the yud-hei of Shem Lashem. This is more like the vav-hei. This is outer, this is inner. So much easier to live here when I'm in alignment and nothing's like actively like pushing me off balance. But if I'm frustrated or I'm tired or I'm sick or something happened in life, this is the default. Like we default to here, and then there's the opportunity to stretch and to grow.
And the fluidity of a real active relationship, right? It goes through, but then we all have to also then become much more forgiving to each other.
Absolutely.
To allow the space for mistakes and errors to happen in relationships.
Yes.
Even within our human relationships, not only with
the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Yes, absolutely. Right. Which is really the same because everyone you meet is Hashem in costume. Yeah, everyone, it's Hashem in disguise. You're, the whole thing is a relationship with Hashem, and every and all of Hashem is in people. So it's all. It's oh yeah. Love it. Yes, MS. I'm going to add that. I do want to add that.
Also, it's attached. That's the whole book of attached, that whatever your relationship with people is, you tend to translate it into.
Yes. Exactly what I'm. Thank you, Esty. I wanted to say this. There's a reason why. Why do we flock to tzaddikim, rabbanim, rebbetzins, these spiritual people who are so plugged in? It's because they're living here more of the time. Just more of the time. It doesn't mean they never feel this, but they spend more time here. And you know that, and that's what you're going to them for. That being in that presence awakens something in you.
Yes.
If some people spend more time here, more time, we're all moving, it's all dynamic. But what makes a person a certain way... By the way, the Bala Tanya says that our neshamas also come from different parts of Asiya, Yetzira, Bria, and Atzilus, and therefore someone whose neshama is from Atzilus does live here more of the time. And if your neshama is from Yetzira, you live here more of the time. And it could be that your whole life's mission is to go from here to here. Like, that's the major jump that you're working through. Somebody else's major jump is to go from, I feel like, to me is victimhood. I'm a victim. By me, although it's ego, it's not victimhood. That's better. Meaning what, like... Okay, I'll ask something else. So to go from here to here, that's a huge jump. If you think everything is a problem and then you get empowered, it's funny because to the people who feel like everything's a gift, you look like a Balgaiva. But to the victims, you look like a hero. So it just depends where you're standing.
And these are different, like, not to get too metaphysical here, but what you said, these are different tikkunims, that people life's tikkunim, so instead of looking at them and saying what they're
yes.
not good, that's right? Like,
that's, and that's what Michelle is saying, right? Which is, you live, exactly, you can live with a forgiving, accepting heart when you realize they're exactly where they're supposed to be, right. And they couldn't be any different.
Right.
No one could, I had this one client who has a very challenging relationship with his wife, and they were going through a really hard time. And I got to know them over like a good number of years. And at some point it dawned on me, the switch for him was, he kept coming back to, but she should be doing this or she should be doing that. And we know not to say the word should, but the reflection was reminding him, she can't. This woman couldn't do what he wanted her to do. Not that one day she could, she can't. That freed him and changed the relationship. Because now, if someone can't do something, now you have forgiveness. Mm-hmm. Now you have acceptance. So long as you project a should onto someone else, there's a problem. There's a dynamic. But if they can't be different, okay, fine. So I'm here to help you with whatever I can help you with. It can be. So you have to know. You have to know when you can apply that, right? But from in, you would call it in short order, like if it's a person that you don't know, like at all, or if it's someone that you know very well and so you've seen all the dynamics, those are the areas where it can be used. Yeah, meaning if I don't know this person, I can't judge. I have to assume this is all they are. So how can I do that? Or if I'm with someone for 20 years and I see life has shown me that the best way for me to have a relationship with this person is to assume they can't. Now, maybe they will surprise you, but let it be a miracle. Let it be a miracle. Let it be a surprise. Don't live in the expectance that it should change.
Right. I think a lot of people get caught up in that and they assume, and I try to tell someone they're having a problem. I say, imagine they were like handicapped in a wheelchair. You could say, you should walk, but it doesn't help. Say,
that's exactly it.
And the thing is, they just can't get to the point where they believe it. And I think there's a new thing, instead of saying to someone, what's your problem? You say, what's your teacher?
Situation like this, the person themselves makes the inner change and the situation changes.
Yes.
Because it really wasn't about what person, it was really about them.
In the end, it's always about you.
Right.
In the very end of you, for you, in your life, you have to walk around thinking that you're the only one with free will and no one else has it. That's what it means, Hakol Bidei Shamayim, Chutz Miyirat Shamayim. Think about it like this. If Hakol Bidei Shamayim, and in your life, I'm part of Hakol, right? Because I'm not part of your choosing Yirat Shamayim. Anyone you meet is part of the Hakol that's Bidei Shamayim. That means that from your perspective, for you, in your life, in this situation, they can't do it differently for you. They're doing what they need to do for you. They're part of the Hakol Bidei Shamayim. You're left with free will. How do you deal with that? What's the next right step? The next right approach to how do I relate to this person or to this situation? That's all you're given.
Which is also taking yourself out of victimhood.
That's right.
So that Hakol Bidei Shamayim is them and you are...
You're the Chutz Miyirat Shamayim. What do you do with the situation as it comes? And for you, Esti, just to go through this quickly, to me is like we said, it's victimhood. I'm a passerby in this world, and I'm doing everything is and passively going through this life, and everything's acting upon me, and that's it. Full stop. I can't do anything about it, and even when I try to change it, like it's not real because things go the way they go. And in a world of Tumi, you're actually really hoping for, you'll get a lot of addiction falls in the world of Tumi because that's where the victimhood is. And you'll find the same people who are gamblers in Tumi because like, I can't make it happen, so at least there's luck because that could happen. Could happen, right? Like, something good can happen to me, right? Could happen. Okay. By me is something else altogether. Tumi feels more like if you're going in the world of emotions, there can be anger here, but it's more like sadness and grief and apathy, and it's like it's low energy. It's much more yayush, right? By me feels empowered. I can do things, but that means I'm also really like I could be very caught up in how I need to get things done, and I'm
and how I need to fix things.
Yeah, I'm taking too much control over what it is, but it's much better than thinking I can't do anything, and there's a lot of free will in by me. You know, this is a really good place, like, in general. If you think that you can do something about it, you can get things done. You can move things in the world. It's really good.
Well, that's hope. But
yes. By me has hope in it.
Yes.
Yeah?
There's a little narcissism in there.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, there is. There is narcissism and ego there. And mind you, there's even ego in for me, yeah, mm-hmm. Because it's for me, yeah. There's still ego there, as if like you know it's all happening for you, which it is. Bishvili niver olam, it's true. But you see the world as a gift, and you see life. You still have choice, yet to the degree that you can. But it feels more like to me in that like you're not even hanging on to your own choice. It's much more surrendered in for me
because like even the bad things are for me.
Even the bad thing, which again, life can still be hard. And still be challenging, but like I recognize that there are lessons to be learned and opportunities to be had and new directions to go on. Right, everything's working for me, and this is like the world of like bitachon, emuna, bitachon. Right. Things are good, right? And then through me, of course, is now you see yourself as a channel. You're an extension of God. So the other things are true. You see things happening in the world and you recognize that things are happening. There's still a for me, but you see me different. Like you see the body and the personality more as the vehicle, but you don't even, this is like lowercase me. You don't even really see it. This is more like I show up exactly where I'm supposed to, how I'm supposed to. And these are the rare moments where like you have absolute clarity. You're plugged in, you're the exact right person who you need to be, not with any gaiva, no ego. It's like
that's where the gazelle
is. And this is where they're living. Yeah, doesn't mean that you can tap into this. And there are moments when you're there, and like when you're there, and then you come out of it, you look back at those moments, and you're like, I know what that feels like. It's like when you have the spiritual experience, the Darchei Noam, the current Solanum Rebbe, he says one of the advantages of trying to have a spiritual experience is because it gives you reference points. Like it's good to have go and find a tish to sit at. Go to places that you're experiencing something deeper. Why? Because even if you can't live there, people say, oh, don't do this thing. It's just like a momentary experience. It's not real. It gives you reference points, and that helps you expand a little bit more. So. Halavai, v'halavai, v'halavai. You know, we live in that place.
One of the hostages said that when they were the hostage, they had that clarity, that closeness with Hashem. And now they feel sad a little bit that now they're coming out, they're in the real world again. They're not connecting as much.
I've seen that video. It's unbelievable. I've seen him speak about it. It is. It's an amazing thing that happens when we're pushed into it, and then Hashem opens things up that we couldn't have gotten to otherwise.
There's nothing else, just Hashem. That's the biggest thing. No,
but yeah.
Do you have a Hebrew word like for me is like amuna? Do you have other words for me in Bible?
No, I can sit and think about it for you, and I can send it to you.
This is brilliant. I loved it. I'm very glad. Yeah. So since the flights were postponed, I guess.
So
yeah,
you could just talk
tomorrow. Oh, yeah. It is always a pleasure. Thank you.
There's nothing else, as you said, it's all the same to me.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you all. It is always a pleasure. Really, really.